It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Bring it up, Rick. Final hour of the show here on a Thursday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you on the BetQL Audio Network. Whether you are listening live on Odyssey.com or the Odyssey app, whether you're listening in Denver, 1430 AM The Bet, in Los Angeles, KCBS HD3, in Chicago, 105.9 FM HD2, The Bet, Chicago's new home for wagertainment, or whether you're watching us on YouTube at youtube.com/Odyssey Sports. We appreciate each and every one of you as we bring you the wagertainment each and every day for 4 hours on the BetQL Audio Network. To close the show, Nikki Football makes an appearance to give you a bet for tomorrow's Euro 2020 in 2021 opener between Italy and Turkey. Joey Kanish joins us in 20 minutes to give us his best bets coming up for Euro 2020 in 2021. But right now, Ken, let's talk some National Football League. And joining us to do that, one of the most entertaining and most informed NFL voices out there. Even though he is a huge homer for his favorite teams, especially the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though he looks at everything through those black and gold glasses and it warps and distorts his mind as to what he's going to see happen this upcoming NFL season, we still absolutely love him. You follow him on Twitter, at Damashek. You check out his podcast, -3, on the Extra Points Podcast Network, along with our friend Cousin Sal, our buddy Eddie Spaghetti, the Extra Points Podcast as well. Dave Jamishek joins us here on You Better You Bet. Dave, what's going on, my man? How we doing? Welcome back to the show.
I don't know. I was thinking about hanging up. I didn't know what to do. First of all, I never knew you were one of these National Football League guys. Listen, I know you're doing 4 hours, but it's a transparent tell that you are – that. You can't go NFL. You're just filling. When people say National Football League, what they're doing is just buying themselves an extra second or two to conjure more thoughts and to fill a couple more seconds till you reach the finish line. One. And then two, physician, heal thyself. Telling me I'm a homer? How dare you, sir? How dare you, of all people, call anyone else a homer?
Well, first thing here, he's absolutely right about the first part.
Well, you're an hour away from a 3-day weekend. I think you're saying National Football League a lot. That would be my guess. Yeah, that's
right. By the way, the update is it's no longer National Football League. The recent update is it's now our league. It used to be this league. In this league, you got to do it this way. Now it's more included. It's our league. In our league, this young man has every opportunity to be as great as he wants to be in our league. You know, that kind of talk.
Nah, well, Dave, let's talk about our league then. Let's start by talking about your team. And we've had some, you know, kind of rumblings and writings out of Steelers and OTAs and minicamp so far. We had the Ben quote. I immediately thought of the argument between yourself and Nick about the Steelers this year when Ben's like, we're going to prove all the haters wrong. Like nobody believes in us this year and all that kind of stuff. What have you kind of been reading and hearing about Steelers, you know, kind of offseason work and minicamps and everything? And does it make you more or less excited about them this season?
Boy, I am way too steeped in this stuff to answer what seems like a simple question. There are a million different ways I could go with that. But yes, the good news is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as you guys know, no team in any sport has won a championship in at least a quarter century without no one outside the locker room believing in them. This is a longstanding mindset that teams keep trying to convince themselves of. It really peaked for me more than a decade ago when Deion Branch said that right before he won Super Bowl MVP with the Patriots. He said in the week leading up to that Super Bowl, no one outside this locker room believes in us. Hey, Deion Branch, you're 13-3. And at that point, you've already won a couple of titles. I think there are some people who believe in you. And never mind the people who show up. They're not masochists who show up to watch you in Foxborough to watch you lose. They have some hope that you might win the game. And by the way, what about half the betting world out there who bets on you? Are they also masochists looking to throw their money away? This is nonsense. Now, where the 2021 Pittsburgh Steelers are concerned, they actually can talk that talk because it does seem like very few people actually believe in them this year. And the AFC is loaded. And, you know, the AFC North pretty much like the East and the West of the AFC are both loaded too. It's hard to make a case that the Steelers are anything close to being a favorite, even though they won it, 6 months ago now. I do think that to try and answer the big question of the last 6 weeks or so, including the playoff embarrassment against Cleveland in January and through the draft and free agency, is clearly there was something wrong with the offensive line. And you can hang it on the, you know, past his prime Hall of Fame bound quarterback, who's diminished just as Peyton Manning was in 2015, and even Tom Brady was in winning the Super Bowl again 6 months ago.
They're the same.
Brees or any other Hall of Famer. But the offensive line was the biggest issue. Kevin Colbert has a positive drafting record relative to his peer group. If he believes that Chooks at left tackle and Banner at right tackle are sufficient, then I have no ability to push back on that. And with Najee Harris in the backfield, this feels like a competent offense that can grind you out and have its way in the air with all its pass catchers. And the defense, in spite of a loss or three here and there, remains a high-end defense. This is a formula under Mike Tomlin a decade and a half now. And then with Roethlisberger, 17 years. They've never had a losing season. Suddenly now we're going to bet under 9 wins for the season? That seems just loco to me. Even if they don't make the playoffs, they play 17 games, everybody. Let's keep that in mind. All you're asking for is 10-7 out of this team that just won the rugged AFC North 6 months ago. That doesn't seem that optimistic to me.
You know what makes me really want to bet an over on a team when we, you know, analyze them and say, you know what was the problem last year? The offensive line. And then you look at who they took in the first round. And it's a running back. Shaq, we'll get away from the Steelers here. Let's talk about this Julio Jones trade.
All right, that's
we'll get to the Tennessee part of it in a second here. But I want to get your take on the Atlanta Falcons and what, you know, being Julio-less now does for them. Win total right now at 7.5, juiced under, +800 at our show sponsor Bet Rivers to win the NFC South. So I think, you know, prevailing wisdom is the Falcons are not as good now without Julio Jones. The question becomes, A, how much worse are they? And B, are they worse enough that you would consider betting under 7.5, Shaq?
I would, because of the quality of the division. Like we talked about, Nick, a few weeks ago when you joined on -3. It's a funny thing, and I don't think it's by, you know, any sort of conscious construction on the part of the NFL. There's something about the nature of the game and its confluence with free agency and everything else that it's just all amounted in the here and now. It's very hard in June. It's way harder to make a case why a team is definitely not going to make the playoffs than it is to talk yourself into a team being good. It's pretty easy to say, like, if this goes this way and that guy's pretty good, I can see this team, you know, getting to 9 wins and sneaking in the back door with a wild card. It's hard to say that team's definitely going to stink this year. The Texans accepted in this conversation. I do look around, though, and I do think in year two of Matt Rhule and with Sam Darnold, I do, you know, trust his ability to evaluate a quarterback and to build an offense. And they really, in his first draft a year ago, they really loaded up on defense. So I think that team's better. There were signs a year ago that they were going to put it together under Rhule. I also think that Jameis Winston, not Taysom Hill, a more minor role, I think that the Saints, here's a semi-hot take, they're going to win the division. They won it last year, so it's not that hot a take. But people are
Tampa, okay,
flummoxed that I would dare say that Tom Brady's not going to win the division this year. He didn't win it last year either. I think Jameis Winston is not as good as prime Drew Brees. But 40-year-old Drew Brees in 2021 and 2020 and 2019 wasn't as good as prime Drew Brees either. Now you got a guy who can push it. He's not as accurate. That will impact Mike Thomas to some degree. But that will be more than offset by a quarterback who can stretch the field a little bit and take full advantage of, I mean, he's got Alvin Kamara standing behind him. You just need one of those field stretchers. They have it on the roster. Drew Brees just couldn't take advantage of it the last few years. I like them. And of course the Bucs are going to be good. So really that's 5 losses before we even talk about any out of division games, as far as I can count it. So the Falcons are going to be down this year, almost certainly.
And we can talk about the flip side of that coin too. So Atlanta, we think, is going to be down this year, 7.5 win total in the market. Tennessee, 10. And you remember, you know, one of the arguments against Tennessee, and I made it a couple weeks ago, is like, oh, well, the schedule was so easy last year. Well, I'm looking at the schedule and I see Carson Wentz with the Indianapolis Colts. Houston's going to be 0-17. Jacksonville is still, you know, we have no idea what they're going to be with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. So maybe it's a really easy schedule again. The win total is 10. They acquire Julio Jones. They obviously lose Arthur Smith. But how are you feeling about Tennessee now with, you know, two massive wide receivers in A.J. Brown and Julio?
Generally speaking, and this is completely anecdotal, I don't abide by raw actual numbers and statistics to make any points. I just trust my gut.
You got to feel it. You got to feel it in the gut.
I was going to say, you're in good company here with at least one of the two hosts on the show.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Schnuck Damashek could not be colder with his pick. So my gut has something wrong with it. Maybe I'm putting too much booze or something into it of late, but in gravy and otherwise. But anyhow, you hit on it, the division that they're in, and I'm not crazy about like strength of schedule and toughest schedule in the league and everything. Well, you don't know year to year. It is obviously a year to year league, and that's the reason for that more than anything else is injury. And then, as you mentioned too, underneath the head coach, these coordinators really swing the fortunes of a lot of teams. I do also think though, back to what I was saying about my gut. It feels to me, I don't know if this is true, but it feels to me like there's usually a delay of about a season. Arthur Smith moves on. What he put into place will, the residual effects of that positive will work for the Titans through most of this season, I think. So that's a big loss, though, long-term for them, I suspect. The thing that's in their, the thing that's in their favor is, you know, is Carson Wentz, like, if Carson Wentz ain't something close to what he was 3 years ago, who's getting in their way? I mean, that I really like that Colts roster. It's right up there with the Browns and the Chargers for most complete roster in the AFC, in my opinion. But if Carson Wentz, I mean, anybody who speaks with any confidence about what he's going to be is obviously recklessly speculating, which is, as we say, we all like to do too, but nobody knows.
We think Carson Wentz stinks. That would be our take on Carson Wentz, Dave.
I kind of agree, but he doesn't look good. But, you know, I think Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, who together since they got to Indy, have made some very kind of sober decisions. It doesn't feel like they've been swinging for the fences with anything they've done, really, if you look at it. There are some more rash kind of moves that they might have made that they didn't. So if they're this hip on Carson Wentz, then, you know, I guess we have to, are we going to, do the three of us know better than Frank Reich? Probably yes. But let's even play devil's advocate and assume Reich is smarter than we are about Carson Wentz. But yeah, if he's not good, and Phil Rivers was pretty good. He had some spotty stretches last year. People have misremembered already what Phil Rivers was with the Colts last year, but he was pretty good. If Carson Wentz isn't at least that, then who's in the way? I mean, the Titans should roll this year despite their obvious deficiencies. In the meantime, the other three divisions in the AFC, and this is before Aaron Rodgers lands with the Broncos, which I don't know if he's going to, but if he does, egad, that AFC West. But even if he doesn't, egad, another hot take, the Chargers are going to beat the Chiefs this year and win the AFC West. Hear me now, believe me later. I think the Titans among the contenders, the would-be January players, I think that they have the easiest division versus the Ravens, Browns, Pittsburgh. I think the Dolphins are going to be good, and the Bills, everybody's high on. Beware those Dolphins too, by the way. And the other giant wild card of the AFC this year is, it remains, even though Tom Brady lives in Florida now, remains the New England Patriots. Who knows what to make of that team and the number of questions, how good or mediocre they might be.
I think it's a great question and something that Ken and I have debated a lot on the show. Patriots or Dolphins, maybe even or Buffalo right now atop the AFC West. Shaq, we love having you on the show, and we want all our listeners and viewers. You're into sports gambling, obviously you are. You're listening or watching the show right now. You're into entertainment. Shaq brings that. Check out Shaq's podcast, -3 on the Extra Points Podcast Network. Also check him out with Cousin Sal on the Extra Points Podcast. Shaq, we appreciate you, man, even though your Steelers stink. We look forward to doing this again soon. Good luck on all the bets coming up.
You both are welcome, and I will get invites out to you to make sure you're on -3 with us and Extra Points sooner rather than later. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go tuck my tail in shame that my team, along with the Boston Bruins, lost to the New York Islanders, who have what, like, their best player is like 11th in the division?
Well, listen, Shaq, I'm on the Islanders against the Lightning here, so we need a little Islanders luck here, right? That's the great Dave Damashek. On the other side, Joey Kanish with best bets for the Euro Cup.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.